Welcome to Logical, the first regular podcast that navigates the latest legal updates that shape the United Arab Emirates. I'm Tim Elliott. As always, I'm with Ludmila Yamalova, managing partner of the Dubai-based legal firm HPL Yamalova and Plethka. Good to be talking to you once again, Ludmila.
Good to be talking to you too, Tim, as always. Thanks for being here.
We're moving forwards today, Ludmila. We're moving into the future, self-driving vehicles. Let's just make it personal, though, to start with. You, I gather, have had some first-hand experience with self-driving vehicles recently.
Believe it or not, I have to tell you, I certainly did not think that I would be one of the first ones to have actually done it, let alone be interested in it, because that's just not space that I've really, you know, been curious about. And I'm perhaps, for better or for worse, I'm not one that cares about cars very much. So cars is not my thing. Certainly anything kind of to do with the newer and kind of more advanced vehicles and cars is just not in line with my kind of line of curiosity. And then on top of that, self-driving vehicle, what's the big deal, right? And so it wasn't a topic of any kind of excitement. I heard about the UAE sort of doing something about autonomous vehicles, testing them. I've heard people saying they've seen them in Abu Dhabi. Then I've even seen some of them in Abu Dhabi. And I remember people are pointing like, look, that's an autonomous vehicle driving. So I was like, yeah, whatever. Kind of seemed like you rightfully started or mentioned that it's a bit of a future, like a futuristic approach and topic. So it wasn't really of anything that I thought I'd ever be talking about. And lo and behold, I go back to the U.S. in the summers, as I always do. And you perhaps remember back in the old days when I moved to the UAE, I actually moved from San Francisco. So I lived in San Francisco, and my career started in San Francisco, and perhaps it's one of my hometowns. I went back to San Francisco. And there were these little thingies, you know, that kind of this looked like cars, but a lot of sort of clothes on, just stuff on top of them and around them, and looking a little futuristic, but a little kind of cumbersome as well. So, and it was my husband that, I guess, expressed interest in autonomous vehicles. In the U.S., in particular in San Francisco, there's a company called Waymo. So that's who basically implemented, at least in the city of San Francisco, these self-driving vehicles. And so he just thought, okay, let's try them. I had zero interest. But we stayed in downtown San Francisco, and they were everywhere. And it was kind of funny to see them because they would travel in sort of in groups. And then we later learned, and I'm not sure if it's quite accurate, but seems to make sense, is that they travel in groups because they learn from one another. But they were just kind of all around us. Sort of spooky because they drive and, you know, they stop, they follow all the kind of the expected signs. But there's like nobody behind the wheel. So anyway, long story short, so we decided to try and downloaded the app and called for one of them. And it's just the whole thing. It's quite an adjustment because it basically, it displays at the top, because how do you know that this is your car, right? As I mentioned, there are a number of them in San Francisco. But it sort of displays your initials. It's an intelligent tool, right? So it's an intelligent kind of design. So it's all based off of the information that you populate in the app, in the Waymo app. So you put your name, your initials, obviously your credit card and all that. So when the car arrives, it has your initials. And so I did not know that. So we ordered the first one, and then I see one, and then it gives you the location of where it's going to meet you, the intersection. I see one, I run to it, I try to open the door, and like there's like no handle, you know, it's like you can't open the door, and it's just, and it's, you know, and then it doesn't kind of respond. So it's all very confusing. confusing. And then it turns out it was not our car. So you have to look for your initials to see where the initials are to make sure that it's your car. So it will only respond basically to you. That's how you know that's your car. And it has like a code as well that allows you to get into the car. And anyway, so the first experience was just to get in the car. And it's really surreal because in all other ways, it's like a regular car, right? So it's got the driver's seat and it's got the passenger seat, but you sit in the back. On top of that, like the driver's seat is not just the driver's seat. It has a wheel, except there's nobody behind the wheel. Because also through this Waymo app, you obviously input the details of where you're going. So there's not much that you need to tell them. And also on the app, you can choose like what temperature you want, what music you want, whether you want to interact with the company, assistant somewhere that's kind of, I guess, overseeing this car. And then you sort of just sit, you close the doors, close the music starts, and off you go. And as you know, you're sitting there in the back, there's a driver's seat in front of you, and you see the wheel, and the wheel is moving, except there's nobody behind the wheel. It's so surreal. I'm not sure if I'm doing justice in describing it, but it's like everything, the whole thing is like you sort of, in the way it feels very familiar, and in other ways it feels so odd. You know, and also the thing is, what if you want to, so it kind of knows where to go, right? But what if you want to stop, for example, because you want to change your plans? So it's easy. All you do is you communicate on the app. And at some point, I think what we were trying to do is just the seats in front of us were just too far back. And my husband is a pretty tall man, and so he's got long legs. So he wanted to move the seat. We're trying to figure out how to move the seat. But it's like basically you cannot do anything manually. You have some things have to be done for you. So anything you want to be done in the car, they have to adjust it for you. So there's a button there to call the controller. And so somebody comes online, says, oh, you know, how's your experience? You know, how can I help you? Basically, we said, hey, listen, can you please move the seats forward? They haven't thought about that yet. So we're contributing into the development of self-driving vehicles by providing our own feedback. So we said, listen, that's something that should be easy enough where you can, you know, that either you should be able to do it through the app, or at least you should tell the controller, and the controller should be able to adjust the seats. So they basically said, well, we can stop the car for you. You can get out of the car and then basically adjust the seats. So, I mean, you know, these kinds of very small, very basic, and yet very odd parts of the experience that, you know, it's not so easy to just, you know, on the one hand, the car drives without anybody in it behind the driver's seat. On the other hand, just to move the seat is quite a challenge. Wow. So the whole experience is really spooky. You know, like, how is it going to know how to stop on the right, the red light, to turn? How is it going to deal with traffic? But you know, we've done once, then we try to do it again. And sometimes you can't find the car, right? Because also it give you, because depending on where you are in the city, it'll tell you it will be in such and such location, but it could be like a few blocks away from where you want it to be. So, I mean, there are some limitations, and obviously this is still kind of a trial. And so anyway, through this few days of being in San Francisco, we kind of got a hang of it. And we just basically only use these vehicles. And we kind of love them. We love them because they're so smooth. Everything is like, you just press the button. Everything is, you know, it's predetermined. The payment, the location, the temperature, the music, the location, and it tells you how many, you know, how long it takes for the car to arrive. I mean, in a way, sort of similar perhaps to Uber and Careem, you know, same, but different. Mm. So we really liked the experience and just kind of really just got the hang of it and just kept driving, kept taking the car, and only just, you know, to find out a few, you know, like a little later from my many friends in San Francisco that, like, most of the residents of San Francisco hate Waymo. They hate the self-driving cars, and they hate the likes of us who embrace them and love them. And this is how they knew that we were tourists, because you know, I guess only the tourists in the city of San Francisco get excited about self-driving cars. But the whole experience, I have to tell you, it was just cool. I mean, to my surprise, and this is why I prefaced the discussion, is like, you know, it's not, cars are not my thing. Like, I don't get excited about this sort of stuff. So certainly not the self-driving cars. And having seen, and or at least being pointed in the direction of self-driving cars in the UAE and Abu Dhabi in particular, I'm like, yeah, whatever, no big deal. But having been in one, having kind of gone through the experience, I'm like, this is really cool. And, you know, there's still a lot of these kind of question marks. Like, why is there a wheel? Like, why do you need the wheel? Like, nobody is moving the wheel. And so from what I understand, like, there's, you know, there's obviously, it's still a progression. It's a learning. It's a learning process. And this is why they take customers' feedback, you know, kind of like your AI, right? But apparently it's, you know, the wheel is there purely for, like, for human reasons, for human, as a human element. It's just to give the, you know, the likes of, you know, the passengers, the likes of us, this sense of, like, continuity, some kind of, some semblance of normality. And so somehow, actually, apparently some studies have been done that having the wheel, like, you seeing the wheel gives you a little more comfort as a passenger to know the continuity of the experience. But apparently from a technological standpoint, like, the wheel is completely pointless. It's not necessary. So therefore, and obviously the driver's seat is not necessary either. So the experience will obviously change and evolve. But that's, you know, that's kind of where things stand right now. You know, one big element, which I'm sure is going to come into play here in the UAE, is that this particular service was only available in the city of San Francisco and only certain, you know, parts of the city. And San Francisco, geographically, it's a very small town. And, you know, there's no, if you drive sort of on street roads, it's not high speed kind of traffic. So it's much more possible for these cars to drive because it's much more, you know, it's perhaps less risky, you know, although there's more people, but there's a lot more regulations. There's a lot more lights and, you know, smaller speed and such. And so the service is not available, for example, to go to the airport, to the SFO airport, which, you know, we obviously curiously examined, but that service is not available. So that kind of tells you that for the time being, these vehicles can only really be operated in sort of smaller, more confined spaces where the speed is not, you know, so significant. So, you know, bringing it back to the UAE, you know, it's we have a lot of highways, freeways, high-speed roads. So I'd imagine if though I have seen them in Abu Dhabi on sort of the freeways, you know, these are testing vehicles. And so I guess it will be interesting to see how the UAE will ultimately introduce them into, you know, to kind of the mainstream. Because what we went through in San Francisco, it wasn't, it's, I mean, obviously it's still in kind of more or less trial stages, but it is out there available to the consumer. In the UAE, I know the cars are being tested, but they're not yet available to the consumer. So I think once it kind of gets rolled out to the consumer, it will be interesting to see which areas, geographic areas, will lead the way. I guess I can imagine, like, Marina, for example, maybe downtown Dubai. I was trying to imagine in my mind areas that are more sort of similar to the San Francisco structure. So that's basically my own personal experience, to my own surprise. And so that's why when the new UAE traffic law was introduced in September of 2024, it was there, like, and there's a whole section dedicated to self-driving vehicles. I'm like, oh, okay, now I can say something about it. I just, you know, it's not, now I can talk about it, not just in legal terms. I can talk from personal experience. You actually now have some interest in it. So I thought it was very exciting because having seen it in practice, having seen it in sort of real life, having experienced it, I just thought, you know, it is very cool. And it's here. It's here. It's you know, I've seen it. I've been there. I've felt it. So having now seen the UAE making effort or initiative in creating a legal framework for driving such vehicles, I thought that's pretty cool. And to be honest with you, I don't have this data, but I should find out whether the U.S. and San Francisco in particular has actually had any regulations sort of introduced to regulate and to a kind of allow for the self-driving vehicles. I don't know. I'm not sure if it's actually been reflected in the regulations or if it's just being put in practice and the regulations will follow next. But we know now in the UAE there is already a regulatory framework and further regulations will be introduced. But so here I've sort of seen kind of a different order of events. It's the legislation first, and I think that is a pretty cool topic to discuss.
Well, I mean, that's what's interesting about this, isn't it? Because it's also a case of, I mean, there's so many things to consider, safety and where they operate and everything else, but it's a case of the future is now. We've been watching movies for years where I was immediately thinking of an old Arnold Schwarzenegger movie there with self-driving cars, and it had like a little Android driver. That's what you've just experienced, but without the Android driver. So you do need to regulate and then test and then introduce. And I know that self-driving cars are being tested here in the UAE, aren't they?
Yes, it is. They are. And we've seen them in Abu Dhabi in particular. Yeah. And I know that RTA in Dubai is working quite seriously in testing and ultimately planning to bring self-driving vehicles on the roads of Dubai. But we have seen them in testing modes throughout the country. And I think that's, I guess it's not unexpected or unusual to now see the law being put in place to start regulating it and all aspects of it, like you said, from testing to licensing, to regulating, to enforcing. And that's, I'm not sure if it's my experience in San Francisco that motivated the UAE to introduce the new legislation, but it's so cool because it's literally just on the back of my summer experience that come back to the UAE and voila, the UAE had just issued its own law on the new traffic law, introducing a very completely brand new section into the law. That deals specifically with self-driving cars. And this law is, it's the federal decree law number 14 of 2024, and it's called on traffic regulations that will come into effect on March 29th of 2025. And it expressly replaces the previous traffic law, which was law number 21, that was issued in 1995. So certainly 30 years have gone by between the two laws. So you would expect the new law to include all sorts of new provisions and more kind of maybe future is now provisions, such as the self-driving vehicles. But somehow, perhaps I didn't really expect for it to be in the UAE traffic law. Because if you just think about that, we're talking about the self-driving laws as part of the UAE's, the national traffic laws. Usually we think of national traffic law regulating fines, penalties, car modifications, a driving age, and so on and so forth. But it just shows you that having this provision be included in the UAE traffic law means that the UAE is literally thinking of self-driving vehicles as just as part of just a regular, is another type of the vehicle on as part of its traffic foundation. So I think it's in other words, it's kind of making it very common and very standard by including it into the traffic law. The law in particular, it's sets out a fairly robust framework, a legal foundation for integrating the autonomous vehicles into the UAE traffic system. Although, it's very clear this is still the beginning and this is just kind of the first stage of the regulations and there'll be future regulations and setting out specific authorities and specific powers for various authorities that will continue to shape the self-driving vehicle sort of industry in the country.
It's interesting that you mentioned that integrating it into the system. Do you remember when the tram was launched in the marina? And, you're integrating a different system into the road network. And there are a number of news stories of people you know, and they were fined heavily for it, but crashing into the tram because they didn't quite understand the way the new system worked. And I think that's something that, you know, as human beings, we have to get used to. But the tech is here and the tech is, you know, it's going to develop. The thing that really blows my mind about all this is that the previous traffic law was 1995, and that's 30 years ago. I mean, to me, 1995 was last week. But anyway, that's, again, different.
But, you know, it's interesting. It's an interesting also comment because, yes, 30 years ago is a long time ago. But, like, if you think about it, in those 30 years, not much has happened in terms of cars. They haven't really evolved that much. 30 years is a long time, especially in the era of technology, modern technology. But cars haven't really evolved, right? I mean, 30 years basically these self-driving vehicles were introduced until maybe, you know, a few years ago, they were okay, a little more comfortable, a little more luxurious, a little faster, a little safer, but they haven't really transformatively evolved. So I guess this is the first time. So in a way, maybe this is the reason why the UAE decided to sort of change its traffic law now. Because finally, the motor industry is truly transforming, right? I mean, we've seen in our futuristic movies about flying cars and all that, but it's, you know, until now, it's really only just been in movies, you know, now. And you brought in a great example, and I've sort of forgotten about it, is the tram, because the tram is very much sort of similar to the self-driving vehicle. Obviously, it operates in a different system. I remember, you know, us residents in Dubai really did not like the tram because it was still in experimental stages. It was moving slower, just like these self-driving cars in San Francisco. They're moving slower. They're moving in, you know, in groups. They're very, very cautious. Which is how the tram was introduced. But now the tram is part of our lives, right? So I guess we're in the way. That's a great, great analogy. So that's kind of gives us a sneak preview of what to expect in terms of, you know, how autonomous vehicles will be introduced or integrated in the UAE and how, you know, what to expect.
Let's just get into the specifics of what the law covers, Ludmilla, and also in terms of the authority in charge, who is that?
Yeah, so the law, again, this is the beginning, this is the foundation of the self-driving vehicle legal framework. But certainly this, at this level, the law does set out different authorities that will be in charge of the different aspects of the self-driving industry. And so the first one is the Council of Ministers, which will play the key role and kind of most central role in everything to do with laws and legislation and sort of regulation. So they will be responsible for issuing the detailed regulations, like covering everything from inspection to registration to licensing and renewal of self-driving vehicles. And so this will form kind of the building blocks of how autonomous vehicles will operate in the UAE, sort of on the UAE roads. And also, so additionally, the Council of Ministers will have powers to, like, determine penalties and fees associated with the regulation of the vehicles. So Council of Ministers is basically one authority. The other authority is the Traffic Control Authority. And this is the authority that will be in charge of enforcing the traffic safety. So they will be the ones who will be in charge of ensuring the self-driving cars meet the country's stringent safety requirements and that they comply with the traffic regulations, just like any other vehicle on the road. And the third authority is the licensing authority, which is tasked with developing sort of the digital infrastructure for handling the licensing of self-driving vehicles. So this is critical because everything like licensing, registration, and even renewals will likely be managed through the smart platforms kind of keep up with the times. So I guess what we presume is that there'll be like a similar to a Waymo type app through which, you know, you'll be registering cars, renewing cars, licenses, and, you know, kind of ordering. So this, the licensing authority in particular is supposed to kind of lead the way in terms of the digital tools and programs that we will be using, I guess, to enjoy these cars and to manage these cars on the roads.
Okay. I mean, one of the things, I guess, that anybody listening to this, and I'm certainly thinking it, and it comes up regularly, there are lots of stories about this in the media, safety is obviously front and center. What about testing these vehicles? How does the law address the safety and I guess also the performance of self-driving cars before they hit the roads?
Yeah, so the law is very very so detailed in terms of at least the importance of safety and creating the right mechanism and continue to develop this the mechanism to ensure safety and I guess evolve as we go through the process and learn from our experiences. So the law outlines the mechanism for testing modern technology, testing before it ends up on the road, and to ensure that all the vehicles are obviously safe and reliable, and you know, before they're fully introduced into the community. So the vehicles obviously will be subject to rigorous testing protocols and to evaluate their safety in different traffic scenarios. So the law kind of touches upon these aspects and the specific references to sort of the country focusing on ensuring that that not only the safest but most reliable technology is allowed on the roads, and that the government is not planning to rush through this, but they will be taking sort of measured approach to make sure that when these vehicles do become mainstream, that they will meet sort of the highest standards for safety and performance. So for the time being, that's kind of how the law addresses the testing and safety. So it's in general terms, yes, the focus is safety and therefore making sure that all the vehicles get tested properly and that there will be a specific mechanism for doing this. So that, again, this is kind of the underlying legal framework and further, I would imagine, much more technical regulations will be introduced at a later time.
So really, this is the bones of what will become, it sounds like, a pretty comprehensive legal framework, but obviously there's a lot more that's going to happen, a lot more to come.
Exactly. Yeah. So the law is just the foundation. It's just the starting point. And the real specifics will come later as the Council of Ministers begins to issue more detailed regulations on everything from vehicle maintenance to insurance to even data protection. And these regulations will be tailored to the needs of the technology and sort of how it interacts with the human-driven vehicles. But what's exciting that it's and very typical of the UAE is how forward-thinking the country is, and they're not just reacting to changes in transportation, but in fact sort of leading the way. By virtue of this particular law, the groundwork has already been laid. Yeah. And so we'll soon see self-driving vehicles become a regular feature on the roads, I'm sure, in not a very distant future.
I mean, it really is sort of the future of transportation. If you think about what Dubai's done in recent times, getting around the city now, there's constantly infrastructure work, new flyovers. You know, it's a highly sophisticated road network. We've had the metro in the last, 15, 16 years, the tram. Water transport has developed hugely. There's lots of ways of getting around on the creek, etc. Etihad Rail, you can see now, it's visible, it's there, it's nearly ready. So I guess, you know, it's kind of an exciting future, really, isn't it? I'm interested in your thoughts on where we're headed, bearing that in mind.
I mean, listen, we see it, Tim. You and I have been in this country long enough and maybe not so long enough to have seen this kind of transformation. Yeah. I mean, you've just very pointedly summarized just like kind of the high level technological advancements that this country not only sort of thought about, but implemented and very successfully. And you know, when I remember when the metro was introduced, I'm like, oh my goodness, you know, the tram, is that ever going to happen? But it happens. It happens every time. And when it does happen, it works. And it doesn't just work, but, you know, it makes a huge, huge difference. The metro has made a huge difference and continues to do so, to like the transformation of the city and the tram. I mean, don't forget, you know, Uber and Careem. They were, you know, when we were here first for many years, they didn't exist. Now they're part of the mainstream. And the UAE is very open about allowing these new technologies to come in. And it does it in its own way, kind of a measured way. If you recall, Uber came in, but it was a lot more sort of a gradual and measured approach, and still is to this day. Not everybody can just be an Uber driver, so it's still much more regulated, but it is very embracing of these new technologies. And certainly the UAE's overall stance on wanting to be the leader in digital transformation and AI, I guess sort of aligns with not only what we hear in the news, we're seeing it in practice. So I think in the next 10 years, certainly I could see that Etihad Rail will be finished, and maybe you and I will even get to see the cars flying. I don't know. I mean, they're certainly offering already Uber choppers. So once you put the autonomous vehicles on the roads, I guess flying cars may not be too far in the distant future.
You might well be right. A measured, quite an innovative approach to self-driving vehicles. That is another logical. All about self-driving vehicles in the UAE under the new regulations being introduced. Thank you for listening and watching if you're with us on YouTube. Thanks as well to our legal expert, managing partner here at Yamalava and Plethka, Ludmila Yamalava. Appreciate your insights, your San Francisco stories and your personal experiences, Ludmila. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim. It was very fun.
Find us across social media, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, LinkedIn, YouTube, wherever you get your podcast, our website for UAE-centric legal information, hundreds of podcasts for free there as well. And if you'd like a legal question answered, either by a qualified UAE-experienced legal professional or maybe in an episode of Logical, head to lylawyers.com and click Contact.